Open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Start with verse 20. Mark 15, verse 20. We're talking about the cross that Jesus was crucified on. The Word of God says, "And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull, and they gave him wine mixed with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription on of his accusation was written above, 'The King of the Jews.'" Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, today we ask that you open our hearts that we might understand the message that you have for each one of us. Lord, we come here this morning and each one of us have different needs in our lives. We're not all facing the same trials. We're not all facing the same tribulations, but we know that with you, all of these things we can go through. And Lord, I pray that you'll just guide us today, and we'll give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. We're talking about the cross. You see, the cross of Calvary reaches upward to the highest heaven and pierces through that sin barrier and brings the brightness of God's grace to us. The cross of Calvary. Paul said that I may know him and know the power and the tribulation, that I just may know about the cross of Christ. You see, I believe not only does it reach to the highest heaven, it goes downward to the lowest hell and pierces through the darkness of the wrath of God. The cross. The cross is a revelation of the splendor and the shame of sins pardoned and sins punished. The cross shows us life and death. And the cross of Calvary shows us the salvation of man and the damnation of man who rejects Jesus Christ. So as we think about the cross, every time I come into this wonderful sanctuary, I see that cross. I'm always looking at the cross while I preach. I've sat many a day underneath that cross and prayed. There's no better place just to come during the week to come into this auditorium and sit here and just meditate upon the cross of Calvary. You see, there's a pathway that led to the cross. And we can only guess, the Bible says, about where Jesus was crucified. And we talk about the Golgotha, means the place of the skull. If you go there today, they'll take you to many places where they thought maybe Christ was crucified at. But there's one place they took us when we went there to what looked like a mountainside. And in that mountainside was a looked like a skull shaped out of the rocks and formed the eyes and the nose. Looks like an old skull. And they say that's where, upon that hill above that, is where Christ was crucified. Now, at the following, when they crucified Christ, they led him down the streets there through town. These Roman soldiers and centurions were there to crucify our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, as he carried the sign, which was the cross, and over his head was this sign, Jesus, King of the Jews. But you know, the pathway doesn't start there. The pathway to the cross began much earlier than with these cruel soldiers. You got to go back in your Bible to the very birth of Jesus Christ, when the Bible says Simeon looked at Mary and her baby and said, a sword, Mary, will pierce his heart, or your soul. A sword will pierce your soul, Mary. The pathway to the cross was not easy for Mary. It was not easy to think about that, to realize that her baby boy, that little precious thing she held in her hand, would be one day crucified upon Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. But it goes further back than that, really. If you look back in the Old Testament, you see Isaiah said, he will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. Way back to Isaiah was a prediction of Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary, that he would die upon like an innocent little lamb being slaughtered. And when David, if you go back to David, you read in the writings of Psalm, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we know the pathway to the cross didn't start with the babe, and it didn't start in the New Testament. It didn't start in the Old Testament. It was predicted there. But you might go even back further than that, to where God told a man named Moses, you're going to be the one that leads my people to freedom. They were in slavery down in Egypt, and for over 400 years they had cried out to God for freedom. And God led Moses to take the people to freedom. And the Bible says that God told Moses, he said, listen, you take the blood of a lamb and put it over the doorpost, and all who come inside those houses will not be destroyed or die. But the ones on the outside would die. God saw that the blood, that precious blood, and all who came into that house would be alive and saved. And today, if you come into the cross of Calvary, if you come to the cross, Jesus says, he who comes to me shall have everlasting life. If you come into the blood of Jesus Christ and have the blood of Jesus Christ over your life, your sins will be blotted out. Isn't that wonderful news, that know that Christ died for you, that if you would just accept him as your Lord and Savior, all your sins would be forgiven? You don't have to die today and go to a place called hell. Some people don't like to hear that, but many people die every day. They're lost, they're undone, their lives are not in Christ, they're outside of Christ, and they die without Christ, and they go to that place called hell that God has prepared for Satan and his demons. Jesus was that lamb slain before the foundation of the world, you see. It goes back further than Adam and Eve. It goes back to the foundations, and even before the foundations of the world. Pathway to the cross began way back yonder in the councils of eternity, when Jesus decided, Father, I will go. I will die for the sins of man. Isn't that wonderful to know that even before sin, Jesus would die for us? For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know what that means? It means today that if you're a sinner, you're lost, you're without Christ, you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that God so loves you. I hear people say all the time, well, how could God love me? I'm a sinner. I do things that are displeasing. Well, he knows that. You know, God expects man to sin. But he says, listen, if you will come to me, those sins will be covered by my precious Son's blood. And I will forgive you. And the Bible says if you'll come to him and repent of your sin, that means you have a sorrow in your life. Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you with my sin. He will forgive you. Turn your life around. Oh, you're not going to be perfect. You know, I once met a fellow that thought he was perfect, but his wife told me, no, he's not. You know, if you'll come to Christ, you may not be perfect, but you'll be forgiven. And the Bible says he will let you into his heaven. Isn't that great news? He gave us everything. And what did we do to him? The Bible says we took him out and crucified him on a cross. You know, we so minimize his death and resurrection today. You know, some people say, well, you know, he was God. So what? He felt the pain. Have you ever had somebody that just betrayed you? Done you wrong? You thought were your friend, and yet they done you wrong? How you felt betrayed? Just think about Christ. He came to love. He came to forgive, and we hollered, crucify him. Oh, yes, he suffered, just like you and I suffer. He felt the pain. Well, you said, preacher, we didn't crucify him. Those Roman soldiers crucified him. Well, I got news for you. When Christ died, he died for you on that cross. There's an old hymn I love. It goes something like this. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sinner, that's me and you. You were there. I was there when they crucified our Lord. I heard of a preacher that had a dream one night. The crowd was watching. They were crucifying Jesus Christ on the cross. And the crowd was watching, and one man was laughing, and he ran to that man and tapped him on the shoulder and said, sir, stop laughing. That's my Lord. The man turned around, and it was his own face that he was looking at. He ran to the soldiers who was nailing Jesus Christ to the cross, and he said, stop! And when the soldier looked up, it was his own face. You see, we were there when they crucified our Lord. You and I were there. We were his disciples who ran away. Haven't we all been like cowards to run? You see, many things in the Word of God, He says do, and yet we don't do them. We're afraid of what man might say about us. You know, man has a way of saying, if you do what Christ wants you to do, you're a bunch of religious fanatics. I'm not, but I don't mind being called one. I just love God. You see it? Simon, he was, the Bible says, compelled in verse 21 to carry the cross of Jesus. He had no choice. Like some of us today, we had no choice, did we? I heard a man said, well, preacher, I go to church because my wife makes me. I've heard children say, well, I was drugged to church when I was a kid. My mom and dad made me go to church. I guess that was my case. I went to church over and over and over because daddy said, get up and go. We didn't have a choice back then. In Psalms it says, no man careth for my soul. Well, let me tell you something. If you had a mama, if you had a father that made you go to church, you ought to praise them. You ought to be so thankful that they loved you enough that they took you to church. You see, you might have been here today and you might have come reluctant, but you know what? You can leave repentant. You see, all you have to do is realize God died for me. And then there were not only the people there like you and I, but the soldiers were there. You know, those soldiers were not there by choice. They just had work to do that day. They were in charge of the crucifixions, and there was no dirtier, no bloodier work than having to crucify somebody on the cross. You see, they laid that cross down on the ground, and they laid that victim on the cross, and they took those hands, and they drove the nails through those hands. Can you imagine the pain as they struck that nerve that just went up that arm, the burning, shooting pain in the body of Christ? Can you imagine when they drove that spike through his feet, the shooting of the pain that runs up your body? I tell you what, I've got a pinched nerve back here in my neck, and every time, sometimes I turn just the right way, that nerve is pinched, and oh, it feels like a scorpion has stung me. Can you imagine the agony of being crucified on a cross? And those soldiers, they were hard men, very hard men, hard for the pain. They didn't care. That was just a job. The insults that Jesus received, they just kept on nailing. The shame of being put on a cross. Can you imagine the thirst that ran through his body? And sometimes that person on the cross would stay there for days before death would come. Think about it. The soldiers represent the people that we meet every single day, that we rub elbows with, that are so hard and they're so calloused against Christianity. I see them every day, folks. I meet them walking down the street. I see them in the stores that we go into. I see them on jobs. I used to work at a job that the men cursed like sailors, boy. Sorry about that, Brother Bill. He was a sailor. He don't curse. But you know, every single day they would mock my Lord and my Savior. And, oh, I just didn't say nothing about it. You know, they could have done some other kind of work, but they had no mercy, no love for Christ, or no love for anyone that was going to be crucified. And they represent, I believe, the millions that are in America today that would say it's all right to abort a baby after it's born, kill it. I'd have never dreamed that would come true in America until I've heard it with my own ears. Oh, how calloused we have become. We're just like those soldiers who don't care for the lost. For the good we fail to do, we ought to ask God to forgive us. And for the bad that we do, we ought to ask God to forgive us. Were you there? Yes, you were. Were you there like a disciple who was afraid to stand up for Christ? Yes, we are. Were you there like Simon? You had to be compelled to go to church or do something for Christ? Yes, yes, yes. Are you like that soldier this morning who's calloused in their heart to where we just say, we don't care anymore? You see, every time you have an opportunity to witness for Christ and you don't, then you're calloused. Or you think, well, maybe that the Bible's not true and maybe they will go to heaven when they die, but I'm not telling them about it. Maybe you think, well, they deserve to die for all eternity. You see, the crowd joined in that day, and they spit upon Christ. They mocked him. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:12, predicted that Jesus would be numbered even with the transgressors, and he identified himself with that punishment. And praise God, as he was crucified up there between two thieves who deserved to die, not Christ, but those thieves, one of them accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Not because he was good, but because Christ died for him. And he realized that, and he wanted Christ to come into his life. The other on the cross died in his sins. And that day he went to eternal damnation. Not because he was a man who had robbed and killed and stole, but because he rejected Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He rejected the cross. Someone said, what sin will send you to hell? Will murder send you to hell? And I said, no. Will immoral things send you to hell? No. But the one thing that's going to send you to hell is the rejection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, preacher, maybe some other day I might get my life right, but I've got a lot of living to do. Let me tell you, you're on dangerous ground. You're believing a lie from the devil, because we don't know when we're going to die. How many people that I know that thought they had plenty of time and then they died and that time ran out? All of mankind, I believe, is seen on that hill today. And the Savior died for all sin. The saved sinner who died to sin, and the lost sinner who died in his sin. And then, if you look a little further in the Word of God, you see the sympathizers there. There was a group of Jewish women in Proverbs 31:6. If we take that to heart, it reads, "Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, wine to the one in bitter anguish." Now these are the forerunners, these women, Jewish women, they're forerunners to the ones who volunteer, I believe, to work in our hospitals. Oh, let me tell you, our homes, nursing homes, anywhere, everywhere, a physical need is there. You see, to make death more bearable, they're there. Christ, the Bible says, however, refused that anesthetic. Why? Because the Bible. Not because it was wrong, but as a substitute and sin bearer, he would not omit one little drop of that bitter cup in which he had to take to slip from him. You see, he took everything that the old devil threw at him because he loves you and he loves me. And then we see in 29 and 32, I didn't read those, but we see in 29 through 32 the purpose of the cross. You know what the purpose of the cross? He came to redeem. The crowd, they come by, if you look at the Bible, and it says they sneered and they hurled abuse at him. The priests were there and the scribes. They even joined in the mockery of our Lord and Savior. Matthew 26, verse 53 says, Jesus said, "Do you think I cannot call on the Father and he would send thousands of angels right now to rescue him?" But he didn't. The cross was his choice. I will die for the sins of mankind. You know, we think so many times, oh, Christ was a victim. No, he was a volunteer. You see, he volunteered his life. He gave his life. It wasn't taken. He gave it. He didn't give in to the devil's temptation to strike back at the mob. You know, you and I would have, wouldn't we? Man, we like to get even, but not our Lord and Savior. The Bible says he loved them. And he wanted to forgive them. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Did you know if you're here today and you're lost, he wants to forgive you just like that? Forgive you just like that. There's nothing that you've done that Christ will not forgive you if you'll come to him. Listen, let me tell you, in my days as a preacher here, I guess God sent me to Gun Barrel City because I've met up with every type of person I believe you could find. And you know what? I've had drug addicts come, and they've given their life to Christ, and they've turned away from their drugs, and they have been great Christian guys, great Christian girls. You say, "Well, I'm a drug addict." Well, that's nothing that God can't heal if you'll just come to him. I had a guy one day, he was a murderer. And God healed him. He healed him. Became a fine Christian man. I had one guy that just came out of jail, and he said, "Preacher, don't tell anybody that I've been in jail." He said, I found Christ while I was there." And no, I said, "Christ found you." You see, Christ is always looking. But let me tell you something. You might be one of the nicest men or nicest ladies in town. And if you've never received Christ, you're going to die and be lost for all eternity. It doesn't matter to Christ if you're good or if you're bad. He said, "I came for all men, women, boys, girls, whatever." He said, "I want them to be saved." You see, the cross. And not only that, he came to rule, to mock the Jews. Pilate put a sign upon his cross that read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Let me tell you something. That sign was accurate. Old Pilate didn't really understand it. But let me tell you, one day the Bible says Christ will come again. He's going to come and conquer this time, and he will rule and reign. Let me tell you something. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. Those old soldiers that nailed him to the cross are going to bow down to him. Those Pharisees, they're going to bow down to him. Those scribes, they're going to bow down to him. That lost thief is going to bow down and confess to him. Mary, his mother, is going to bow down and confess. I will bow down to him, and you will bow down to him. The only question is, how? What do you mean by that, preacher? Are you going to bow down to him? He will either be your judge or your savior. Now, which one will it be? If you're lost without Christ this morning, he's going to be your judge, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you're going to be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It's not going to be pretty. If he's your Savior, the Bible says you'll rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. He will be our God, we will be his people. How will it be in your life? Today is the day of salvation. You don't have to be a member of this church to get saved, brother or sister. All you have to do is come and say, "Preacher, I believe that Christ died for me, and I want him to come into my heart." The Bible says if you ask him to come into your heart, he will come in your heart. If you confess him before men, oh, let me tell you something. Would you come this morning and just get saved if you're not saved? It'll change your life completely. You'll turn your life around and start living for Christ. Maybe you're already saved and you just need to recommit your life. I believe that's probably all of us, you know. Would you come? Maybe you have a burden on your heart. Let me tell you something. If you've got a burden on your heart, God put it there, you pray and you ask God to show you. He will show you what you need to do. Maybe you're looking for a church home and this is the place God has led you. Would you come? Just come and say, "Preacher, I would like to join in with this fellowship. I'll be glad to share with you." Whatever decision you make, don't walk out the back doors without making that decision. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for these that have come. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit now do its awesome work in our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision, that today would be that day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.